Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. We will continue to take your thoughts on Vanderbilt's takedown of Alabama throughout the program. Today we will get back into that here in just a few minutes here on the program. Tennessee going to Arkansas on Saturday and falling by a final score of 19-14. A very disappointing loss for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Volunteers. Joe, I said it on Friday. I was worried about this one heading into the game. I know that Stilley gave us his guarantee on Friday that Tennessee was going to win. We were crazy for being worried about it. But turns out, weren't that crazy for being worried about the Arkansas game on Saturday. And look, I thought it was a horrendous coaching job by Josh Heupel. I'll just lay it out there. I thought he did a terrible job in this game. And that's from a play-calling perspective. That's from a getting-your-team-ready-to-play perspective, which they clearly were not in this game. And Dylan Sampson pretty much said as much after the game with his post-game comments about how they may have taken some things lightly and for granted over the bye week, which is just mystifying given that you've accomplished nothing at this point if you're Tennessee. Look, you know, people are going to say that, well, they held Arkansas to 19 points. The defense still played well. I thought the defense was bad in this game. They gave up 300 yards through the air. They gave up 135 on the ground. They couldn't stop them in the first half. Tennessee barely had the ball. And when they did have the ball, they didn't do anything with it in the first half. They came out in the second half. They finally got some things going, particularly with Sampson and the running game. Scored a couple of touchdowns, got up 14-3. And you thought that after maybe a bad half, they had woken up a little bit and were going to start to get things going. But then that Arkansas offense just continued to move the ball. Tennessee could not get anything going in the passing game, and that was a combination of things, Joe. I thought it was play calling. I thought Nico was off. He missed some throws that you can't miss. I thought the pass protection against a team that I think heading into the game was near the bottom of the country in terms of their pass rush rankings. I thought the tackles that both came back in this game were not good. And Tennessee finds themselves at 4-1. With a loss after a pathway had opened up for them that was pretty clear to the college football playoff. It's a terrible loss for the Vols on Saturday. And look, at this point, Joe, it's taken on different forms, right? Like in 2022, you know, they could not cover a soul in that South Carolina game, and they were running wide open throughout the game all down the field, and that's what it was. And last year in Florida, somehow they forgot how to tackle, and the offense couldn't put up any points. And now you got this one on the road. I mean, it's, you know, one game I'll give you, two times maybe it's a coincidence. Three games, three times in 3 years it starts to be what you are. You could pretty much look ahead on the schedule from now on for Tennessee with Josh Heupel and this staff, and you can try to figure out what road game it is that they're just going to absolutely wet the bed. I mean, that's what they've done the last 3 years, and another example of that on Saturday night.
Just a huge disappointment. Just, and I'm with you. It was a terrible night for Josh Heupel and his staff. There's a lot of layers to this. I'm with you. The road just flop. I mean, there's just no excuse. You have that extra time away. You have to know that Arkansas is at least a decent football team at home at night. I mean, Taylen Green, who of course got hurt and had to leave the game late, and they still drive down to beat you, is a talented player, and he was throwing it at a high level. like you said, this is, you know, 3-0 at halftime was so deceiving because they got completely dominated in the first half. It's just that you had those two short yardage stops, you know, and they come away with no points on those drives. And to me, I was like, well, that's Arkansas's toast because, you know, because Arkansas should be way up in this game, right, and they're not. And so now, and then it gets it toward the end, like, there you go. You know, you had your chance, Arkansas, and then to let them back into it. There's a lot of things about this team beyond what we're talking about. You have that. You have the road stinker element. I'm concerned about this team's offensive line. You know, again, you know, PFF or whatever. I think it was PFF grades. Take them however you want them. But the two worst graded guys in the Vols were the two tackles in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm concerned about their offensive line. I'm concerned about their receivers. I just. You know, and of course they had injuries there too. So you got guys hurt, and also it just hasn't been dynamic. And you know, I gotta say, after watching this game, I'm like, I was concerned about Nico before this, and you know, kind of said a little bit, you know, just like, gosh, they don't seem to use the middle of the field. I watched that game, Robbie, the other night. I'm like, this looks just like last year.
Yep.
They're playing the edges and they're throwing the screens, you know. They'll throw the screens, they'll throw the fade, but like they have no, it doesn't appear they have any variation. I mean, that the basis of that offense is the you know, the choice routes, right? Where you're reading the corner together and you either cut it off in a comeback or you take it all the way. I don't see them doing much else. And so again, I'm like, are they trusting Nico? Are they not trusting him? What's going on there? And I said it last year, and I'm going to say it again. This offense, yes, Hendon Hooker, no question. I think the appreciation for him and what he did will grow over time because it was just remarkable 2 years ago especially, but also Alex Golas to Joey Halsley at offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, man, but like I have to look at that and say, man, how much have they lost there? And how much is it hurting them? Because they don't seem to have answers right now in their passing game, and that's really concerning.
Yeah. Well, and look, Nico missed some throws, right? Like Squirrel White had a guy beat that if you make the throw, it's a touchdown, and maybe you win the game. So Nico missed a couple of throws, missed one on the last drive as well. And then, obviously, you know, there's the play at the end of the game where he basically went Joe Milton and didn't throw the ball in the end zone on the last play. Now, would they have completed the pass there? Probably not. But you got to throw the ball. Like, we talked about that with Milton a couple of years ago. It's inexcusable to be a college quarterback and not know that you have to throw the ball there. So, it's a horrendous mistake by Nico at the end of the game there. But the passing game is broken right now. And look, the numbers will tell you that they're a top, I think they're like 47th in the country right now in passing yards per game. I don't really care how they throw the ball against Chattanooga and Kent State. Just go look at their quote-unquote big games this year. Like NC State, they didn't really throw it that well. Like they made a couple of big plays, but they ran the ball great. Nico made a couple of big plays with his feet, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of your offense. But you didn't throw it all that well against NC State. Oklahoma, now granted you had some backup offensive linemen in there and the pass protection was becoming an issue. You made the one play down the field to Thornton. Other than that, you didn't throw the ball very well in that game. And now this game, you threw the ball for 158 yards. Their passing game right now is broken. And I don't know how fixable it is. I don't know if it's something where, look, maybe they come out on Saturday against Florida and they, you know, they're at home for the first time in basically a month and they wheel that thing around for, you know, 300 yards on Saturday. I have no idea. But right now, I think you should be extremely concerned about the passing game, and it's multifaceted. I don't know that the offensive line is very good, and if it's not very good, you're not going to give yourself much of a chance against the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world. And I just don't know, like, how good is this receiving core at creating separation? Look, they, you know, Arkansas clearly was committed to stopping their passing game on Saturday and felt like that they could contain Tennessee's rushing attack basically with like five in the box. And a lot of the night they did. Now, Samson ended up for the 138 yards on the ground. So he still got his numbers, and he broke a couple of big ones. You know, he had the 53-yarder that was almost a touchdown down. So, like, it wasn't like they completely stifled the Tennessee running game. But you've got to find a way as an offense to come up with more answers in the passing game than they're coming up with right now. And this is now basically a year and now three meaningful games this year where they've had no answers really with the passing game. And it's concerning.
It's very concerning. And, you know, it was a great strategy. We got some Arkansas fans listening to the show. That's one thing I've learned through this, Robbie. But, you know, Arkansas had a good game plan, and it was absolutely – they were not giving up the deep stuff. You know, and they also – Sam Pittman has talked about it. Like, they switched to a 3-3-5. They switched their defensive alignment up. So, different, you know, in the run game, different gaps, different things that Tennessee didn't expect. But they still, to me, should not have been able to do what they did up front with the boxes that they had out there.
Yeah.
And I think you have to – so the offensive line – yeah, and then Nico, I mean, look, again, people, I mean, Joe Milton, he still gets ripped for that play against Ole Miss. I mean, that's just like, how are you not heady enough at the end of a game to understand you just have to flip it into the end zone and give it a shot? How does this happen to Tennessee football twice in like four seasons also? Like, yeah. It's concerning. I still think that Nico has a world of talent. But you've got to change some things. I actually think it's a good thing for Tennessee that they have Florida coming in this week. It's a home game. It's a team that you should beat up on. And
you better
I still
focus.
Think they will. Yeah, but you also you got to get some stuff in order. And I don't know if that means like, is it time to look at Mike Matthews?
Yes.
Or you know, I
they
mean,
need somebody out there that can make a play. They don't have one. Brew McCoy is a good player. Brew McCoy cannot create separation. He can't do it.
Yeah,
they need somebody out there that can make a play and get some separation.
Yeah, they're just a mess. And by the way, we haven't even gotten to the secondary, but this is the first time that we've actually seen it really be tested. It's the first time we've seen a team that can actually – and I didn't even think Arkansas could throw the ball this well. Taylen Green was throwing some dimes.
He was.
But, man – I'm looking at that and saying, boy, when they play the teams that can really throw the ball, how much better had they actually gotten there?
Ricky Gibson was bad Saturday. It was bad from him. And, you know, McCoy wasn't great, but Ricky Gibson in particular, it did not go well for him on Saturday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on Tennessee's loss to Arkansas over the weekend coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Vols, their loss to Arkansas. Caleb on the text line. It's not on Nico or the wide receivers. Defenses are playing three deep safeties, and we're being forced to be one-dimensional. And when you can't run the ball against a light box, that's the issue because it doesn't force his defenses to bring more people down. To which my response was, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Nico missed too many throws on Saturday. You got to find an answer as a passing offense other than, well, they got people out there. Look, I understand that teams are taking, you know, Heupel mentioned it again the other night. Well, the structure was different than what we thought it'd be. Well, the structure ends up being pretty similar at the end. Like all these teams clearly have devised something that they think is going to work against your offense. So you have to utilize the middle of the field, your tight ends, Squirrel yes. White. You have to find an answer. You are paid to find an answer in the passing game. It doesn't have to be a bubble screen to the right or a deep seam route. Like your route tree has to expand more than what it is right now with this offense. If you can't do that, then maybe we need to start having a conversation about the coaching staff. But like this idea that, oh my God, the defense is in a 3-3-5. What do? We can't throw the ball is one of the most asinine things I've ever heard. You're paid to come up with answers here. The route trees have been awful. And you have to find an answer as an offensive staff. It's embarrassing what they put on tape on Saturday. Embarrassing.
No, I agree. And look, again, I don't want to overplay the OC thing because look, I you have to recognize your own limitations in this thing. I can only go with the product I'm seeing. But I believe that, like, Alex Golish, if he was OC of this team, they would be using the tight ends all over the field, in the middle of the field. They did a great job of that, you know, in the first 2 years of this offense with Heupel. And they just, it just was a lot more varied. The route tree is a great way to look at it. I mean, seriously, it's just bubble after bubble. And then the choice routes, and I'm just not seeing variance. And another thing I'm seeing is from Nico, and those eyes are going down fast, man.
Yep.
And I think it's a combination of, I don't think his coaches are helping him out enough, but also I think he's concerned about that offensive line protecting him. I mean, that's, so he is one read eyes down to run way too fast. You're not going to win these big games. I mean, you just lost to Arkansas, but you're not going to beat Alabama and Georgia if that's how your quarterback goes about things. And yes, some of that is on him, but also you got to support him more.
Look, they play like they did Saturday. They will be in a dogfight with Florida. I guarantee it. If they play like they did Saturday, they will be in a dogfight with Florida.
Well, here's something that we haven't yet, you know, combined the two main topics of the day. First of all, this loss, by the way, I mean, like, for the Vanderbilt football fan, to then follow up with a little cherry on top of Tennessee losing to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my goodness. But what a joyous day for the Vanderbilt football fan. But also, you telling me that Tennessee Vanderbilt's not going to be a football game this year from what we're seeing right now?
I mean, right now. It's hard to imagine it not being one. And look, again, you know, the problems are, I think, primarily on the offensive side right now. That was not a good performance from Tennessee's defense. And, again, I know they only gave up 19. So, if you want to just box score watch it and say, well, what are you talking about? They gave up 19 points. You'll take that all the time. Yes, they gave up 19 points. Now, on the first drive for Arkansas, Taylen Green had somebody wide open in the end zone and short-armed it and missed it. They had another fourth down stop that Tennessee gets credit for, where the receiver caught the ball with his knee on the ground, a yard short of the marker where he would have picked up the first down. So we can sit here and give credit to Tennessee for some of these stops if we want to, and there's a couple that they do deserve credit for. It was not a good performance from Tennessee's defense on Saturday.
No, I mean, 434, like you said, total yards. You know, 3-1 a carry, but still to get 137 yards, to overall get 5.9 per play, I mean, that's, you know, 21-30 passing for 297, no picks. I mean, 9.9 per attempt, Arkansas, in this game. I mean, this was not a good defensive performance. Like, they kind of lucked out. Yeah, I still think a lot of the game they look, you know, dominant up front. They looked, but then, like, late in the game, man, I mean, I guess they were tired. But, I mean, the winning drive, when you really needed the front to dominate, they got Arkansas got to push and some seams that were just critical. I mean, that's a losing defensive drive. So, and again, like you were just talking about these corners too. It's just, you know, they just haven't been tested. We haven't seen them against someone who can throw the ball. And I mean, look, I'm still not buying a dogfight this week. We'll see. I mean, you're right. If they play terribly, then they could be in a dogfight with anyone. But in a couple weeks, Ryan Williams coming to town. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I got concerns.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And look, you're hoping that your offense is built to the point where if it turns into that, you can combat that, right? Like, you can go toe-to-toe offensively with your passing game. And right now, it just feels like they got a lot of work to do with their passing game. And can you do that in 2 weeks when Alabama comes? Like, this is a really damaging loss. Like, my first thought, other than basically cussing out Josh Heupel all night long after the game Saturday night, was like, this feels like the type of loss, Joe, where you look back on it on the end of the year and you say, yep, that one kept you out of the college football playoff. That's what Saturday night felt like. Was like, it almost, to me right now, kind of feels inevitable that we're going to get to the end of this thing and we're going to look back at Fayetteville, Arkansas on October the 5th and say, yep, that's when Tennessee lost the college football playoff right there.
No, I think that's very possible. And apologize, because apparently someone behind me has decided that all of the landscaping must be done at 7:20 on a Monday morning. I'm sure that's great for the folks here who pay money to try to sleep a little bit.
You can't really hear it. That's a good thing.
I got to change my rant. No, look, I mean, at this point, and I know Alabama just lost to Vanderbilt, but at this point, Tennessee, I can't like them against Alabama. I can't like them against Georgia. And so that's exactly what it'll be. You know, if they take care of their business otherwise, that's exactly what it'll be. This will be the game that costs them. But also, though, if they don't fix some things from this and really figure some things out, I think there's another loss somewhere in there potentially too.
Yeah.
You know, like, so it won't even be like, we'll look back on this one because we'll just look back on a team that was way overrated.
Yeah. Like it's that Saturday should be a huge wake up call for Josh Heupel and this program. And look, I think Josh Heupel has done an outstanding job as head coach at Tennessee. There's a lot of things going right for them right now. Look, they still got a really good team. They very well could make the college football playoff this season, and that's still on the table for them. We'll see how it goes from here. But it was a little jarring to watch just how unprepared they were to play that game on Saturday and how disjointed he was calling the offense. Like, it was and look, Arkansas deserves credit. Of course they do. Like, they got a nice pass rush on Tennessee, and they made life difficult for Nico. But they were aided by, number one, some just stupid penalties that Tennessee had on the offensive side of the ball that, you know, should not be happening at this point of the season with the regularity that they were happening the other night. I just thought it was a poor, poor performance all the way around from Tennessee, particularly with their coaching staff. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into Vanderbilt's big win against Alabama. More of your thoughts to get to on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fog Street Lawn Club. Give half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience, British lawn bowling, scrumptious bites, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card to Fog Street Lawn Club now while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in, Blake. Blake, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, Rex Rhodes. Love listening to the program. I listen to it on the way to work every morning. I just want to start out by saying that. Yeah, no worries. Robbie, Rex Rhodes, I drove on 40 West to go to Fayetteville there on Saturday morning to go see that atrocity. And I just kind of wanted to comment on the game plan, what it looks like. It looks like out of the gate, Heupel wanted to throw the ball. I mean, we couldn't do it against Oklahoma, so that seemed like the mission. Well, when it's 3-0 at halftime, you got to go try to run the ball. So they did that on the first two drives. They go at 14-3, and it seemed like he tried to go right back to that passing game that wasn't working. And it was just like we were trying to beat a dead horse there that just wasn't ever going to get us anything. So I just kind of wanted to get your comments on why we swapped back and forth and why didn't we stay with the run game if that was working.
Yep, thanks for the call. Well, look, I mean, they tried to run the ball. They ran the ball 36 times in the game. So – now, 11 of those came from Nico. So, Nico, to your point, Joe, I think pulling the ball down too early and trying to get out of there. And, look, he was under pressure. Like, Tennessee's offensive line did not do a good job pass protecting in this game. So, that's something, obviously, that they got to get figured out. Because, if Hurd and Campbell are back in there and you can't protect any better than that, well, that's a huge red flag for you moving forward. I did think there were too many times where Arkansas got too much penetration with five in the box, and you can't have that against Tennessee's offense. And that, you know, it reminded me a little bit, Joe, of what Georgia's been able to do to them, where they have basically slowed down their running game outside of, you know, an 80-yard burst from Jalen Wright last year to begin the game with five in the box. And that's what they've been able to do in that matchup.
With first rounders doing that.
Right.
So you kind of get that.
Right.
Right. Yes.
That was not the case on Saturday in terms of the other personnel. So, I mean, look, we talked a lot about it. This should be an eye-opening game. It should be a really eye-opening game for the coaching staff. They got to get some stuff figured out. And if they don't, this ain't going to be the last loss that they're dealing with this year.
Now, there's a few comments on the text line. I'm just going to paraphrase, but the idea of like the 3-3-5, good switch from Arkansas. Okay. No doubt. Good switch from Arkansas. But like, it's not like the 3-3-5 is some foreign thing that teams don't use.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so in your game plan, it'll trip you up, but they've seen plenty of 3-3-5.
That's what NC State
also
runs.
Yeah. And also, what Someone said, you know, the routes are built in. Well, like I said, there's a foundational thing with this offense, the deep choice routes on the edges, right? But there's still different pass plays and different things that you can do. And it's just, we're in well into a second season now of Tennessee never using the middle of the field in the passing game. And to me, I took that as not trusting Joe Milton previously. And I don't know if it's the same thing now with Nico or if it's just the OC or what it is, but if you don't have some variance, get those tight ends involved, do some different things. Like Robbie said, do something other than all bubbles or the choices down on the edges.
Yeah.
Like it's going to make it real easy for teams to defend you. I mean, obviously if you hit a few of those, then whatever, but they're not hitting enough of them. And I think it's a huge go back to the drawing board week for this coaching staff.
A huge week for Vanderbilt over the weekend as well. They take down Alabama 40-35. We had a lot of reaction to that on the show so far today. We'll continue to take your reaction to that. Let's hear the play-by-play call from the game clinching, I guess, kneel down on Saturday for Vanderbilt against Alabama.
He takes the snap.
That's
going to
do it.
Vanderbilt.
Biggest win
it.
In Vanderbilt history.
Is this real life? You bet. Vanderbilt beats Alabama for the first time in a generation. The greatest moment in Vanderbilt football history.
Andrew Allegretta on the call there. Fired up in the booth. There was a nice video element, too, of Allegretta in there just pumping his fist. It was fun to watch. Then the students storm the field. The goalpost goes from West End to Broadway to the Cumberland River. What a scene it was on Saturday night for Vanderbilt, taking down the number one team in the country. You mentioned it earlier, too, Joe. I mean, look, it was the greatest night in Vanderbilt football history by far before the Tennessee game. And then you have Tennessee losing to Arkansas on top of it. I mean, I got some tweets from some Vanderbilt fans that were basically like, hey, Robbie, sorry about your team, but this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Like this entire night. And I was like, yeah, man, I get it. It's all good. It's all, you should enjoy it.
Yeah. But the thing is that the Vanderbilt result on its own was so big that nothing that happened in Tennessee or even the rest of the year with Tennessee would ruin that either.
Exactly.
Right? It's just a little bit of, oh, I'll throw that in there too. The best day ever. Yeah. No, it's man, just even seeing, cause the thing is, we talk about these crowds, right? Like Nick Saban said, and they play them on a loop. You know, more teams from the opponent or more fans from the opponent and all that stuff. What about the people who are there all the time? What about the students who do show up for Vanderbilt, who actually got to go on that field and rip down the goalposts? Or the people like Jim Wyatt and his wife who are there faithfully. I mean, Jim Wyatt, I think we've talked about this on the show. For people who don't know, yeah, I'm going to botch the story, but he never missed the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game. He's such a hardcore Vanderbilt fan. He's a Tennessee grad who is a hardcore Vanderbilt fan who was there front row at every freaking sporting event.
Yeah.
And he, like, had a Titans game out west, and he, like, had to take the red eye back and all this stuff just to get to kickoff of a Tennessee-Vanderbilt game, like, 15 years ago. Like, it's people like that who you feel good for. Like, it's long-suffering, and I know that there's some – you know, it's like the lovable losers kind of thing, almost like the Chicago Cubs fans who for years, right? Like, but still, like, they had good teams. They just would blow it at the end. I mean, you're talking about not being competitive for a lot of time in this league, and to come out and beat the number one team that just won the biggest game in college football that is good enough to win a national championship. Alabama is good enough to win a national championship, and you beat them straight up. And they could not stop you. It's not just the craziness of having this moment. It's like how it happened too.
Yeah, no doubt. And the offense from start to finish in that game. I mean, look, they marched right down the field that first drive and did what they do, right? Like a nice mix of run and pass, but it ends up in the end zone. And then like you get the first time your eyes kind of open a little bit, Joe, because even after the first drive for Vanderbilt, it was like, okay, well now, you know, Milroe's about to get the ball, and yeah, are they just going to go right down the field, and how's Vanderbilt going to stop them? When they get the tip and the interception for the pick six, and it's like, oh, wow. So it's about as good of a start as you could draw up for Vanderbilt, but specifically offensively. And look, Vanderbilt's defense came up with some big plays, obviously. I just mentioned the pick six. They had the strip sack later in the game, which was really the point where I thought, wow, they're going to actually do it and they're going to win. But the offense from start to finish in that game, Alabama had no answer for it. They had no answer for Diego Pavia. They had no answer for the running game for Vanderbilt. And I thought the timing and the decision-making by Diego Pavia was extraordinary in that game. It was just a clinic that Vanderbilt put on offensively, and there was nothing fluky about that. Like, Alabama just did not have an answer for Vanderbilt's offense.
No, and it is such a fun offense. And look, I don't know how it's going to go the rest of the way. Like, Kentucky has a really good D. They just saw what they did to Alabama. Maybe Kentucky this week finds some answers, you know? And it looks different up there. I mean, Vanderbilt's going up there. I mean, I'm very interested in that game. And if you're a Vanderbilt fan, like, you're excited about your football team week after week and their opportunity to win SEC football games. They got a chance to win some games and get to a bowl game. Well, they really do. And they just, how different is that? You know, it's usually a death march by now for Vanderbilt. Yeah. So it's just all of it. I mean, Clark Lee's decision to go watch that Auburn game and what Pavia did to them and go to New Mexico and say, bring it to freaking Nashville, all of you. Yeah. Come on. You're coming home with me to Nashville. You are moving to Nashville. I mean, talk about one of the, like, you know, wherever his career goes from here and this program goes from here, like an all-time potentially decision that's kind of out of left field. I mean, we kind of made fun of it, right? Like, oh, New Mexico State Northeast.
Yes.
Boy. Was that a smart move?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Steven in Clarksville. Steven, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Love the show. Start by saying, yes, I'm a diehard Bama fan since I was a kid, lived through the Mike era, and, you know, thank God Saban came to Tuscaloosa and everything. Well, I'll say this. On Saturday, I was thinking to myself, I didn't even check what time the game was going to be because I thought, you know, Bama Vanderbilt, you know. Well, I'm outside doing yard work all day. I come in at 5 o'clock and I get an update on my phone saying Bama trailing in the fourth. I'm thinking, oh, mercy. And so I decide I'm not going to watch this. I can't. And then when I got the update saying that, oh, Bama, you know, Bama upset by Vanderbilt, I'll say this. I wasn't even mad. I wasn't upset. I was just thinking, this is weird. I mean, every coach has that one bad loss. But at the same time, I just thought to myself, you know what? Go Vandy. Go Vandy. You know, like they say, every dog has their day. I was thinking to myself, you know what? I think this is okay. Good learning curve for Kalen DeBoer, but I'm actually proud of Vanderbilt, and it gives the boys at Bama something to think about, even though probably coming off everyone's talking about whether it's like the emotional toll they took last week or whatnot, or looking over Vandy. I just think a lot of people were saying it. Perfect storm was brewing, and it just happened to actually happen this week with Vanderbilt, and all I can do is tip my hat, clap my hands and say, hey, good job, guys. Y'all deserve it because they actually won the game. It wasn't fluke after fluke. It was Vanderbilt came ready to play, and I was proud.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Steven. Appreciate it. I don't know how many Vanderbilt fans will take the Steven approach, or excuse me, Alabama fans will take the Steven approach to that one, congratulating Vanderbilt. But
I like the perspective.
Yes, I do too.
I like the perspective. Also, I know we weren't going to talk draft today, but I think we have to talk draft, okay?
Okay.
Because Jackson Dubois has the hashtag. Hashtag pitiful for Pavia. Let's do it.
Like
pitiful
it.
For Pavia. I can't even say it.
And by the way, just a nationwide disclaimer. It is Pavia. It is not Pavia.
Who was doing that?
Pretty much everybody that's never watched Vanderbilt play football before. It's calling him Pavia. So, including some of our local news the other night, which was disappointing. 615-737-1025.
Name names.
I don't actually know his name. 615-737-1025.
Corey Curtis? Yes. Chris Harris?
Yes.
Jill Jones. Jelinek? Okay, I butchered that one. Sorry.
Nailed
Go
it.
Ahead.
Speaking of things, yep, Joe's butchers, you. We'll see what the rant looks like coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out anytime at 7:45 each day of the week. Either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant, or potentially one day again, nicked off at some point. We'll see how that goes. Rex Road live from the beach today. Kokomo setting things up in the background. I'm liking the vibe here. Rex Road, the floor is yours.
You seeing those waves rolling in? Look at that, huh?
I do.
Yeah, well, luckily the loud landscaping, 7 a.m. is over. So
7:15 grass cutting, that's a bold move.
Like a couple feet from where people are probably sleeping, I would guess. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway, it's too nice here for me to complain about that. I'm gonna make a call here. Let's make this official, okay? It is over for the Cleveland Browns. It is over for Deshaun Watson. That is the worst trade in the history of the National Football League. I am calling it today. And helping me call it, let's listen to Kevin Stefanski yesterday as he's asked about Deshaun Watson after a horrific loss to the Washington Commanders to drop the Cleveland Browns to 1-4.
Given the struggles of the offense, how do you think significant changes are needed? Is that quarterback change something
that you'll consider? Yeah, we're not changing quarterbacks. We need to play better. I need to coach better. And that's really what it is.
Braves, baby. The Braves factor's coming in.
He's already got his DNA all over there. The coaching and playing better.
And here's the thing. It actually is possible. I could see this with the Haslams, with Jimmy Haslam. I think it is possible that Kevin Stefanski, the guy who makes that phrase famous, is actually the interim coach of the Cleveland Browns this year. And it's an absolute crime. And it's not because Vrabel. I mean, Vrabel will get another head coaching job in this league. But Kevin Stefanski, you know, go back to last year when Watson gets hurt and they bring in Joe Flacco, who, by the way, looked all right yesterday for the Colts in yet another loss to Jacksonville in the Milky Pool. But look at last year. Just a guy who's a decent quarterback in that offense. And Baker Mayfield had success, too, before the year that cost him his job. And now Browns fans are watching him with a tear in their eye. Joe Flacco took that offense to the playoffs, and it was fine. This offense right now is at 3.8 yards per play. That is the worst in the NFL since the 2018 Bills. And for those who don't remember, the 2018 Bills were the rookie year of Josh Allen, were absolutely atrocious, as was he. That team beat Vrabel's Titans 13-12 in one of the worst games I've ever had to witness in person up in Buffalo or Rochester, wherever the heck their stadium is, at Buffalo. That's the worst since then. The Browns are close to the 1999 expansion Browns when they brought the new team in and called them the Cleveland Browns again. You know, this is right. They draft Tim Couch. That team was 3.65 per play. 3.8 yards per play is so bad. It's just mind numbing. And watching this team, and I'm like, Watson isn't the only issue, but they are tied to Deshaun Watson. And Kevin Stefanski, we're not changing quarterbacks. He's saying that because he can't.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the option of doing it. The Haslams are going to just take this all the way to the end and hope that this horrific, horrific trade works out still. Again, to remind you, okay, they sent him and a 6, that Houston did, for Cleveland's 2022 first and fourth, 2023 first and third, 2024 first and fourth. The Houston Texans yesterday beat the Buffalo Bills in a thriller of a game, and they have a young quarterback who is on his way to greatness, and they have a chance to do big things this year. The Washington Commanders, who lit up the Browns yesterday. Have a young, exciting quarterback who I think is not only rookie of the year, but I think he could be an MVP candidate. He is what the Browns thought they were getting. Instead, they have a bad quarterback who has an atrocious personal history that should have given some pause to the Haslams, but didn't. Should have caused them to not give him $230 million guaranteed, but didn't. And the rest of the league was furious at them. And now, I mean, who isn't laughing in this league about the plight of the Browns? I feel bad for Browns fans. Not the idiots who brought, like, massage boards out to the tailgates, but, you know, the general typical Browns fan who has to endure this stuff. This is now the Browns franchise. You know, I've compared them to the Lions over the years. They're very similar. They used to play for championships in the 50s, and they've both been just completely futile. I mean, this is flat out the worst franchise. So we got the worst trade ever, and I think we have the worst franchise in professional sports. Congratulations, Jimmy Haslam.
Well, and the other part of this, like, I think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach, and he is absolutely –
I agree.
He is going to end up paying, I don't know about the price, but certainly a price. Like, he's going to get fired. He's going to get fired at some point at either this season or at the end of the year. And I think he could very well go on to be a successful head coach elsewhere. But like you said, I mean, they're not letting him switch quarterbacks. And now look, they've got Jameis Winston as backup. And as much as I love Jameis Winston, I don't know, like, if the win-loss total is a ton different with Jameis Winston as your quarterback. But he cannot play worse than Deshaun Watson. I guarantee you he can't play worse than Deshaun Watson has played to this point.
I mean, I'll take Jameis Winston all day over this. I mean, they would have an absolutely better chance to win a football game with him at quarterback. Yeah, he might, you know, he might throw a pick six too, but I would – Deshaun Watson is done. He's a broken player. He's done. He's not going to do it. He's got the 230. He's got the guaranteed money.
Yeah.
But this is just – and the fact that they're going to just keep pushing this forward like this, my goodness. You got the Cleveland Guardians, at least, who, by the way, are going to lose to my Detroit Tigers today. Sorry, Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland. Sorry, Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland. By the way, wild day around the NFL yesterday. Vikings take down the Jets. Ravens win in overtime against Cincinnati when Cincinnati had it right there.
How about Derrick Henry?
Yeah, Derrick Henry with a big run in overtime after Cincinnati misses the kick. Just a big day in the NFL. We'll get into some of that with Corey Curtis coming up here at 8 o'clock. That will be next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.